You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and thank you, as always, for making us part of your daily routine. We are heading into the weekend on a high note, the Celtics staging a huge, huge, huge comeback to win Game 2 against the Philadelphia 76ers, 108-103. There is a lot to get to, and we hope that you enjoy the show enough to subscribe. If you are a first-time listener, welcome aboard. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. And if you are a subscriber, be sure to give us that five-star rating we so desperately crave and that good review, and make sure you share it with all your friends. We are the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales from RedsArmy.com and Boston.com, joined as always post-game by Sam Jam Packard. He is the Celtics beat writer for the Springfield Shopper, and he is joining us from the Alkali Flats of the Springfield Badlands, otherwise known as Las Vegas, Nevada, where we each put money on this game.
Yeah. You know what? This is my first time at a sports book ever. There's a lot of screens, and then it's just disrespectful that the Celtics were the underdogs in their, like, on their home court after they won game one by 16 points and they had Jaylen Brown returning. It was an easy play. And this gambling thing seems like a lot of fun. First time in a sports book, it seemed like you could spend hours there. You just apparently win all the time. So I'm in.
Totally.
This was it was fantastic game two.
Las Vegas exists because people win their bets all the time. I think that's something that everybody needs to know.
That's how they keep on building all this real estate.
Absolutely.
Everything makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. So, let's just start at the beginning, where the Celtics played with their heads up their asses for, I would say, what, like 18 minutes or so?
Yeah, that was a terrible, terrible first quarter, and then they opened up the second quarter and were even worse.
They were worse. I couldn't even begin to describe some of the things that happened. The only way I can describe it, and what I think happened, was the Celtics came off of that game one in such a high that some of these guys came out and said, we've got this. And they played like they could go dick around and go one-on-one and just go and score whenever they want. Like, all of the shots are always going to fall. And I think that's what Terry Rozier was doing at first. I think that's what Marcus Morris was doing at first. And just a bunch of guys were thinking, like, we were hot in game one, we're home, we're going to be hot in game two. And they played like idiots. They turned the ball over, and they missed a lot of shots. And, like, the very first thing that happened in this game was Terry Rozier helping off of J.J. Redick when Embiid was driving. And all we talked about in game one was single covering Embiid, stay home on the shooters. And he helped off of Redick. Redick hit a shot and just never stopped hitting shots. He finished the game with 23 points. They got lucky that he cooled off a tiny bit at the end, because
he came out firing. He was 5 of 6. I think he opened up 5 of 5 to start the game.
Yep.
And had 13 points in the first quarter. That's enough. Like, the Celtics played terrible on offense, as you alluded to. And then the 76ers, their role players made shots. J.J. Redick, Marco Bellinelli, Robert Covington. Where the hell did this Robert Covington guy come from? I have no time for this Robert Covington nonsense, but he was fantastic tonight. He hit a number of, like, amazing threes. But really, I think that was the story of the first 18 minutes, is those guys really were knocking down the shots. And on the other end, the Celtics struggle on offense. And that's a bad recipe. But then 6 minutes in the third quarter, they just go on what? Was it like a 27-4 run?
Yeah, something like that. I forget what the final number was.
21-5 to end the half, 17-3 in the final 4 minutes, 11-2 in the final 2 minutes. That was the crazy thing about it. It happened so quickly.
Yeah, it really happened fast. So it was 53-34 when Marcus Smart took a charge against Ben Simmons. Side note, Ben Simmons was god awful.
He's a coward. Absolutely. He needs to take a shot.
He was unbelievably bad. If you only came into the NBA and said, okay, I have missed the entire season, catch me up, and you say, yep, yeah, Ben Simmons is pretty much the consensus rookie of the year, and you saw him play in these two games, you'd be like, you're full of shit, you're lying to me, why are you telling me these lies to my face? He's horrible.
He's a coward. He needs to shoot. He only took two shots. He had 1 point. He's just like, if he's going to have the ball in his hands, that's awesome. Like that much, he needs to like do more. He still got 7 assists, and like some of his assists were impressive, but he needs to attack and just keep attacking. And for some reason, the main reason being Al Horford being a very good defender, and the Celtics is doing a very good job of stopping him in transition, but he needs to just keep going. Even if he misses, just like the Celtics know he's not going to go up. He's a coward. He's a thief. He's stealing this award from Jason Tatum, who should be winning it. He had 10 points down in the third quarter? Yeah, it was wild. The run at the end of the half, though, it was like just great stops and then Terry Rozier hitting threes.
So the final score again was 108-103. The Celtics started their run when it was 53-34. So the Celtics, once they started their run, outscored Philly 74-50. So from midway through the second quarter to the end of the game, they basically blew out the Sixers by 24. And it was only because they were getting blown out in the first 18 minutes or 20 minutes of the game that this was even a close game at the end. So that tells you exactly how far down the Celtics were.
That's a Boston Celtics special right there, to just start out and get down by 20 and then just storm back. That's a Brad Stevens special. I liked it.
It really is. It really is. And Philly, like I tweeted, went like right before this comeback happened, was Philly is prone to turnovers, so they don't play disciplined, and they blowing a big lead is nothing new for the Sixers. And I think towards the end there, and I'll definitely apply this to Simmons, They don't know how to close these games out. If you take this entire team and fast forward, if you gave them all 2 years experience through all of this and put them in this exact situation, they probably win this game by 15. They just don't know yet how to close these games out, especially on the road. And it's another thing about Philly. They're not a great road team. They're okay on the road, but the entire season they've been much, much, much better at home. Which kind of doesn't bode well for the Celtics moving forward, but this on the road from Philly shouldn't surprise a lot of people, and they are just not prepared. They're not mentally prepared. They have no frame of reference to figure out how to close these games out. That last possession was as poorly played as you could get, where the Celtics were up three, and they decided not to foul. They could have put the Celtics on the line, gone. If they miss one, you come down. It's a 2-point game. You just play that little time game. They decided to defend straight up, knowing that the Celtics are going to bring it all the way down to the end. And Al Horford blows by Joel Embiid. And now there's absolutely no time in the clock. There's no chance for them to stage a comeback. They just didn't play the clock well at all. It was completely just a complete meltdown all around from Philly.
Yeah, I think this one falls directly on the guy you just mentioned, Joel Embiid. I mean, it falls on Ben Simmons. I can go on calling him a coward and talking about his terrible night. We've talked about his terrible night, but I think Joel Embiid with 20-14 is, I feel like he's always going to get those numbers, but he was not great tonight. He didn't really have it going on the offensive end, and I thought the Celtics really exposed him when they could go five out and draw him out to the perimeter. That's when they really, like, continued the scoring in the third quarter and they got started attacking the rim a lot more. I think Al Horford has just been better than Joel Embiid this entire series, and so the Sixers role players are shockingly those were the guys who did show up. That was JJ Redick, that was Saric, that was Covington, all had great games, but the stars for the Sixers didn't do anything. And the Celtics, on the other hand, they just had the guys you needed to score: Tatum, Rozier, and Mook Morris even tossed in 11 points. And we haven't even talked about the return of Jaylen Brown, who was scary the entire night because he went from dunking to grabbing at his hamstring just interchangeably.
Yeah, that was very frightening. And I don't know, the way he finished this game, he was out there, and like you said, I think Jay tweeted something basically Jaylen Brown has gone from looking injured to dunking on everybody, going back to looking hurt. And that was Jaylen Brown's night. But look, he played as well as you can expect. I think he had that one really bad turnover in the fourth quarter because he was.
Oh yeah, that was awful.
It was an awful, awful, awful turnover. But I think that was very hamstring related because he started to drive, and I think he realized that he just couldn't do what he would have normally done, and he tried to rise up and give himself a chance to do something, but he had no explosiveness, and he just threw it, and just a bad decision. I'm not going to get too down on him for that. I think the hamstring really limited him there. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. I don't know if Brad Stevens, I'm not going to say he's going to chalk up that game, but if Philly comes out like they did today in Philly, I don't know that there's a Celtics comeback. I say that knowing that there's always a Celtics comeback, but I just don't know that they come all the way back because the way they've looked on the road in the playoffs, Philly's just so good at home. Their crowd's going to be insane on Saturday.
I expect that Philly crowd to be absolutely bonkers. I was talking about someone about this in game one before the game. And they were just talking about the third game of the season when Kyrie said, "Suck my dick" to the fans. That crowd, I was at that game. That crowd was insane. And so Philly sports has a crazy home environment, especially the Sixers games. I'm fully expecting the Sixers to come out and punch first in game three. There's a reason that so many people picked them going into the series. They are quite talented. You would have to think that the crowd is going to energize Embiid and Simmons. This is what the Celtics, I definitely don't think the series is over by any means. The Celtics just really did their job of holding home court. But this, they really just had a crap game from Embiid and Simmons, and the other guys stepped up. If they have the similar shooting from Covington, from Redick, from TJ McConnell, my God, I hate TJ McConnell. He is a terrible human being. I don't actually know anything about him, and I felt bad saying that, but it's just that's the visceral reaction I have to any time he does anything. He is like Marcus Smart or Shane Larkin, and I'm just basically he's gritty. And when the gritty guys is against your team, I just don't like it, but I respect it. So, God damn it, TJ McConnell, why did I just admit to respecting him? He's in my head.
Come on, man.
But I think in game three, if those you would expect those guys to the role players to continue shooting, and you'd expect a better game from Embiid. So I don't know. I expect the Sixers to come back. The series is definitely not over, in my opinion.
No, it's definitely not over. Absolutely not over. I would be shocked. Now, I will say that if the Celtics can go out and take a big lead early on Saturday and somehow take the crowd out of it, then we are entering dangerous territory for Philly, I would say. That first quarter, I think, is very important.
Oh, yeah. But I think the first quarter is very important to kind of shut up that Philly crowd and kind of lose their confidence. But I think that no matter what, I think the Celtics could come back from another 15-point deficit again. Just as I wanted to caution that the series is not over, I feel like I still don't know what the adjustments are for the Sixers of how they're going to guard the Boston Celtics. I think Marco Bellinelli still can't guard anyone. I still think the Celtics have a general matchup advantage. And so they made all the shots tonight. Their role players made a ton of shots tonight. and they couldn't get anything going because the Celtics have the number one defense in the league and are quite good at guarding these star players. Every single time there's a JoJo isolation like possession, you kind of are just fine with that as a Celtics fan. He's either like that's not the highest efficiency shot. He expends a lot of energy trying to battle against that burly boy, Aaron Baines, all of Australia. And imagine going to war against all of Australia for multiple possessions and just not being that efficient. I think an Embiid ISO is a win for the Celtics, and clearly Ben Simmons isn't doing anything. I don't know what exactly the 76ers do to adjust because they had the game where they had their TJ McConnell game, they had their Robert Covington game. So I don't know what they do moving forward. So I could also see Celtics is sweeping.
Yeah.
There, I'll straddle the line.
I would only caution people like you who think that no team looked as bad as Milwaukee did after two games in Boston, and that went to seven. So things can change in a hurry. We've seen it in these playoffs. Again, if the Celtics can come out and take an early lead in the first quarter, they have the possibility of taking control of that game and really putting Philly on their heels. I say that simply because Philly is just so inexperienced. And if they can keep Simmons in check for another quarter, I just don't know that he gets it going. And he has been supremely important. He has been the reason why they have been so good. They came into this series with people talking about Ben Simmons is the next LeBron. That was a common refrain. And I know people got to pump their brakes on this. He's still a rookie. And yes,
he's a coward too. People forget that.
Oh yeah,
total coward.
Also that. But Simmons needs time to figure this out. And that glaring, like you said, I'll go with it, cowardice that prevents him from shooting is a huge detriment to him right now. And you said it in the last podcast. If he thought like Marcus Smart and just went out and just launched some shots, you would
he would have so much more space to just get to the basket if you like people were leaning forward a little bit. He's clearly super athletic, but it's just like people can play on their heels against him, and it's just do something. You're a coward.
I just saw Al Horford on one possession completely backing off. Just Simmons was at the top of the key, and Al Horford just backed down to basically the free throw line. And you've got to be careful not to give Simmons room to just start getting a running start towards the rim. That's not something that you want to do. But there just clearly zero respect, daring him to shoot, and he refuses to shoot. And that's not good. That's just not going to get it done. Not the way the Celtics play their defense. And even though Philly got Redick going, and Covington, and it just a monster shooting night from a couple of guys that they needed monster shooting nights from. That's usually when you see Redick hitting 5 of 9 and one of the other guys hitting 4 of 7. That's usually a recipe for a big Philly win. But without Ben Simmons, I mean, he's the guy. And the Celtics have frustrated him. They've gotten into his head. They've dared him to take the shots that they want him to take, and he's refusing, and that's it. He's just not playing very good basketball at all, and that's the key right now. I'm pretty sure that the Sixers will find a way, and maybe Simmons will be energized at home, and there may be, you know, there's also referees will be influenced by the crowd. And, you know, that's when home teams get a couple of early calls. If Al Horford gets into foul trouble early, then things can go really bad really fast. So, I mean, Al Horford's the one guy. After, you know, all of these guys go down or foul trouble or whatever, Al Horford's the one guy they can't afford to lose. There's just no replacing him. So
they're generally bad when Al Horford is not on the court.
Yeah.
But speaking of foul trouble, I thought that was a huge, impact on tonight's game. And the funniest thing is the fifth foul that Al Horford drew on Embiid. He totally fell down. That was just a terrible call. Horford just slipped, at least from, I only think I saw one or two replays of it, but I thought it was a bad call, but I thought Embiid kind of played passively after that. I didn't think he had, like, Tito beat him driving into the lane. I didn't think he really went for a block because I think he was scared of getting that sixth foul. I thought that was a huge part of the game, and I really credit Jason Tatum had a nice pump fake that they – I felt like the Celtics, like, had a strategic thing to try and pump fake Embiid because they did it a couple times tonight, and he jumped for it every single time, and they drew some fouls. So Marcus Smart had a crazy one from behind the three. I just remembered that. I just thought the Celtics did a really good job, and that had an definitely impact late because I thought Embiid played a little bit passive defensively, especially when he was drawn out to the perimeter. Al Horford was just able to blow by him.
Yeah, he can't guard Al Horford. He just can't. Embiid is not necessarily a great defender when he's drawn out to the perimeter. If he's allowed to patrol closer to the basket, he's deadly. But he's got better foot speed than some centers who are mostly shot blockers. But that's Al Horford's just too much for Embiid. He just doesn't know how to handle him. So, all right. So the Celtics go on their run. I think one of the big things that they did to get going was starting to move the ball. You heard Brad Stevens talk about it in game. Move your body, move the ball, get that movement going. Once the ball started touching the paint and putting that Sixers D in rotation, that's when things really, really started to happen. And that's when Rozier got going. I mean, Rozier, another 4 of 9 shooting, but he missed a couple of early ones. So he really, really picked it up at the end. Smart with a ridiculous 4 of 10 from three. Come on.
So that was the most classic Smart performance of taking some nonsense, but then you go in and you just shrug. And you know he shouldn't be taking them, but he should be. It's classic Smart goofiness.
I can't count how many times, like whenever Marcus Smart hits a three, I laugh. I literally laugh. I can't stop myself from actual LOLing. Same with Marcus Morris sometimes because he takes some ridiculous stuff. I mean, anytime a guy named Marcus on this team shoots, it's generally ridiculous, and it going in just makes you laugh. But that's what Marcus Morris does. He just somehow finds a way to hit certain shots. I don't know. I thought Morris early on was killing them. He had he rebounded nicely.
He was part of the just general shittiness of the first quarter and second quarter, where just no one was making a lot of shots. But he was taking them because that's what Mook does. And I have to give him credit for the one offensive rebound where he just dribbled right out to the 3-point line and knocked it down. That was awesome, and it was a huge moment in the game. Actually, I thought it like kept the momentum in the Celtics' direction. So ISO Mook's gonna ISO Mook, and when the shots go in, it's fantastic.
Shout out to Aaron Baines for hitting another three. I mean,
I was like upset with all Baines' threes, and I don't know why. Like, he should take it because that's like where the ball ended up, like in the offense. This is the flow of the offense. He was the guy who had to drift to the corner, and so he should take that shot. I don't like it. I think he needs to do like a goofier shot release, like the big dog. Like it's basically like the big dog shooting threes, and RIP the big dog. He was terrible in this game. They should have attacked Amir Johnson way more than they actually did.
Totally.
They did it a little bit in the first half and never in the second half minutes. But yeah, Baines was pretty good. He also missed some gimmies and some I don't know. It's just really tough to see him out there on offense because he just doesn't space the floor whatsoever. So the possessions that ended with Baines shots were a little bit frustrating to me. But then he goes and makes one, so I guess he's just like, I don't know, sure, take the shot. I know logically it makes sense. It's hard for me to watch.
Yeah, no, totally. What else do we have here?
We got Moose. Moose played some minutes.
That's right.
Moose returned to playoff basketball.
Yep.
Slow as hell.
But you know, look, he put up some nice shots, some nice production in that time. Monroe had 4 points, 2 of 4 shooting in 6 minutes. So that wasn't bad. He had a couple of lapses defensively. So that's why he played in play. And I know people at the end were like, get Monroe in there so you can get that sixth foul on Embiid. But I thought it was about right. He's sometimes when he's out there, you're like, oh, God, you're getting torched. But
well, there was the one-on-one play with Embiid where Embiid just like was just exploded past him. And then there another there was a breakaway where Moose just needed to go up and dunk it. But Moose's can't jump, man. Moose don't jump. And Robert Covington stopped the shit out of him. And that was my main memories of Moose, was just getting blown by and getting blocked. But he had two nice offensive buckets. So it's just nice to see him back out there, you know? He's been gone for so long.
Interesting that Shimmy Ogilvie only played like a minute and a half after being relied on for so long that got nothing out of him in this game.
Yeah, they definitely went with Baines more because I think their defense is better like that, because Baines played I think more in this game than he did in the other game.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I got nothing. Go for it.
No, I was gonna say I think it's a function of them being down so much. Like if they were up and they want to preserve that lead, they would have played a lot more Ogilvie because they would have had, you know, the defense. But being down, they needed somebody.
They needed stops.
They needed the stops, and they needed the ability to have somebody out there that can score. And I think you trust Aaron Baines taking shots more than you trust Ogilvie taking shots. So Ogilvie is just, at this point in his career, a general nothing offensively. So
he would be in there to be the Ben Simmons stopper, but for the large portion of the third and fourth quarter, Ben Simmons was correctly on the bench. I thought Brett Brown made like kind of the right decision to keep TJ McConnell in there, but that's why you have Semi would be in there to kind of like defend Ben Simmons. So if Ben Simmons is not getting a lot of minutes, it kind of makes sense that Semi's not getting a lot of minutes.
Yeah, and Jaylen Brown came back and basically took Semi's minutes, so that's basically your upgrade. If Brown can't go on Saturday, Ogilvie will get those minutes. But since Brown was back, 24 minutes go to him, and Ogilvie just not really much. So, yeah. All right. Shall we get to some tweets?
We shall.
Let's go to the Rain and Jays hashtag. Let's see. At Ball and Opinions, when the Sixers could have had Tatum, but they didn't. And it's a gif of Kevin Hart laughing. He was at that game and he was obnoxious, I will say.
He was Kevin Hart, is what he was.
Yeah, he was. He was.
I'm not here to hate on Kevin Hart, but I certainly don't like Kevin Hart. that's where I'm going to leave it.
We'll leave it at that. At Mauricio Green BR, did you realize that Brad changed the game with a lineup of Smart, Tito, Brown, Big Al, and Greg Moose? How many minutes did this lineup play together before this game? Magic Brad, Kaizen.
This guy's really buying into the Moose factor here.
He really is. I mean, that was he was on the floor for a lot of that that run. So, yeah, I don't know that Smart, Tito, Brown, Al, and Moose played much together.
Probably not, but they probably played a little bit. Brad knew exactly. He's always experimenting with the lineups, and he knew what to expect. That's what he does the entire season, is just throws crazy shit out there. Oh, we'll play four guards. We'll play Marcus Smart at the five. We'll play, like, there's many times where Jason Tatum was playing shooting guard, and there was, like, four centers above him. So, yeah, Brad's not afraid to do anything, and it's better that he has options now with the return of Jaylen Brown.
Bowman Devin, this team at full health would be 6-0 in the playoffs, period, not just at home. Yeah, I mean, if you count full health as just Kyrie and not Gordon Hayward, yeah, Kyrie, I think, I don't know, maybe you give Milwaukee a game, two, I don't know, but they definitely would have been a lot better off. So, yeah, but they're not, and they're still winning, so I'd rather have them be, you know, 6-3. At least you got that six there after, you know, two games in the second round. At Mighty_Mouse235, McConnell subbing out for Simmons in the fourth swung the advantage back to the Celtics. Hashtag things I thought I'd never say. Yeah, that was in response to you saying I hate TJ McConnell more than I've ever hated anything.
See, I don't even remember tweeting that about TJ McConnell. He just fills me with rage. Yeah. It's like when Marcus Smart plays basketball. He just doesn't remember anything. When I see TJ McConnell play basketball, I black out.
Yeah. Well, McConnell did come in and change things. The energy, an offensive rebound. It's super interesting to me that Brett Brown's going to have to answer questions, probably as we record this, answering questions. Why did you take McConnell out and put Simmons in? You had taken the lead with McConnell. He was clearly, throughout this game, a problem for the Celtics. McConnell was a plus 16, and you know, we know that the plus minus can be flawed, but that plus 16 feels right. McConnell was just a net positive, 4 of 4, 5 assists, 2 steals, in 17 minutes. Just when he was in the game, the Celtics could do nothing with him. And him coming out, it was so weird to say, oh, good, Ben Simmons is coming back. Because once Ben Simmons came back in, it was a mess. The Celtics won by 5, and he was a minus 23, and that also feels right. He was horrible, as we've been saying. So,
if you're Brett Brown, I feel like you kind of have to go to him, though. Like, just in terms of like a confidence,
I get
like
it.
He has the potential. Like, if they he'd be criticized no matter what if they lose the game, because you know that's how it works. But I feel like if he's your star player, you have to have the belief that you kind of have to have the Kaizen growth mindset. Yes, you failed all this other time, but you're going to keep trying because your process will be right. And you're the most like talented person on our team. I think you just have to go back to Ben Simmons there.
Yeah.
I understand the trends. It's just like, if you want this kid to believe in himself or like have belief moving forward, you have to believe in him too by putting him back in that game.
I think, yeah, I get that, but you also win the game. And you go to him afterwards and you say, I couldn't play you because McConnell was the guy and we needed to win that game. This is a chance. If they're going to win this series, they need to win one in Boston. And this may have been the one. And McConnell was in there. And maybe McConnell was gassed and he was starting to run out of steam. That's certainly
TJ McConnell has never run out of steam.
I get it. Yeah. But. Points well taken. I think even I would have no problem sitting Simmons the rest of that quarter. Forget the long term, whatever. Sitting the rest of that game would not have broken his confidence to the point where he was irreparable. You go to him after the game, you sit him down in your office or at the hotel, and you say, okay, let's talk about what happened tonight. Okay, something's wrong. It's in your head. We're going to fix it. You're going to go out there because you are the reason we're here. But in this particular game, I had to go with the guy who was playing and doing things the right way. So that, to me, would be a message to him to say, if you're not going to do it, then we got to find somebody who can, and you got to go back out there to do what you normally do. Because if you don't, then, like, we're screwed. You need to go back to doing what you normally do and forget about this game. You know, if they had won, you just turn to them and you say, this is a team. Understand that this is a team. And the guy's a pass first guy. I mean, he understands team basketball. So that would have been my message. So I get the whole concept of, yeah, he's your superstar player and you got to put him back in. Not when McConnell was making everything happen and the Celtics had no answer. Not in the playoffs, not in the conference finals. You're trying to win. You gotta do it. At Scropeberg, did we break Ben Simmons?
Maybe.
At
two damaged rookies on the 76ers now.
My God. What a curse. At Celtics Mike, Scary Terry is gonna get paid. Do you think Danny trades him this offseason due to his value being highest right now? I don't want to get bogged down in this, but
it could happen. Anything could happen.
Anything. Literally, after last offseason, I'm not going to say no, I don't think so. The only thing I'm going to say no, I don't think so, is I don't think they go trade for Kawhi Leonard. I just don't think that happens. It's the only thing that I feel strongly about, and that's, I've had that conversation on this podcast before, so I just don't think so. At Zach Man. Nice handle. Biggest play tonight was Embiid's fifth foul, changed everything. That I agree with. And Embiid decided he'd rather give up an open layup down 3 with 10 seconds left than get his sixth foul. Yeah, but
yeah.
At the same time, he probably feels like he's one of the guys that could hit the shot. But you still gotta stop that. You gotta foul Al Horford. You gotta do something. You're toasted. You gotta do something. So I agree. Rain and junk.
We got a lot of rain and junk hashtag tonight, and I'm good with that because I didn't have as much of my own stupid observations.
Okay. Let's see. At Ben Thomas H34, look at Gucci Troll Kevin. He tweeted out a picture. I don't know who Gucci Troll Kevin is.
No, it's Gucci Mane was there, and he was trolling Kevin Hart.
Oh, gotcha.
Gucci Mane was there in like a real cool Jaylen Brown jersey, and apparently he was just loving every single time he got put on the Jumbotron. And there's a picture of Gucci Mane hanging out with Robert Kraft.
There he is, yeah. I was looking at a guy in the jacket in this video next to them with, I think his name, he's got like a Gucci jacket on.
And he's Gucci Troll Kevin.
I thought he was Gucci Troll Kevin. I'm like, huh, I don't get that. No, look at Gucci Mane Troll Kevin. Ah, yes. Yeah, the Battle of Rappers at the Garden with, and Meek Mill was there. And, you know, there's a picture of Meek and Gucci and, Kraft and Gucci Mane pointing at Kevin Love. Pretty funny. All right. Let's see. Next game on Cinco de Mayo from at Maxi Rodriguez. I like how you retweeted this into Raining Junk.
I thought it was a great observation from one of my mainest men, Max Weinstein. Shout out to him. So I thought I needed to bring it up. I thought it was a great point. Cinco de Mayo's coming up, and Taco J has got something to say, my friends.
That's right.
He's been doing wonderfully this series, and I think playing on Cinco de Mayo after he dubbed himself Taco J, it's probably going to be good results.
Love it. At Betsy Patel, Mr. Jaylen Brown, athlete and intellectual. I guess this came from his Instagram? He got a certificate of excellence for the most watched public forum at Harvard. Goes to Jaylen Brown. How about that?
He also got a gift card to Felipe's Taqueria, which is a taqueria I frequent. So congratulations, Jaylen.
He can take Taco J.
They should go together. They have great tacos at Felipe's. No, if they would like to advertise with us, they should get in contact with us.
Yes.
LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com.
Come on, Felipe's. You know you want to. At Live Green or Die, this might be my favorite one of the night. I should have saved this for last. But Charles Barkley guaranteeing a Sixers victory? You're stupid.
Charles Barkley is some like – I don't like to complain about like the announcers, but there's just like a clear anti-Celtics bias. I don't even think it's just bias. It's kind of it's funny at this point, but Charles Barkley will always say something that will upset Celtics Twitter, and it's always just generally negative about the Celtics. And it's great because you're stupid.
Is it because I'm brown? But it's BC. I get tripped up by that. So proud my contributions to Rain and Junk is officially part of Weird Celtics Twitter.
Yes, she's the one who coined the phrase Terry the Lobster, and then got a great SpongeBob Photoshop of Terry the Lobster. Terry Rozier, another successful lob tonight, a fancy one to Jason Tatum. Kudos to Tito. Tito the Lobster or Terry the Lobster. But yeah. You can post things into existence. That's the great thing. And then you create the memes. The memes flow back into the posts. You basically got a self-sustaining economy here.
Yeah, I love it. At Raining_Jerry.
Hey, now, we should have him on.
Yeah, you know, that works. I like the sound of that. Glad Gino got an appearance at the end of the game. Celtics are on a three-game Gino streak. At Falling Upwards. I've never done hard drugs, but I can't imagine highs get much higher than this. I would agree. I've also not done hard drugs or
just say no, folks.
That's it.
Just watch the Celtics instead.
At @real_BillPorter, go follow him because he tweeted a picture of Covington and some porcupine looking thing. I assume it's from a Disney movie. I have no idea what the hell that is. Let's see. What else do we got here?
More Terry the Lobster from Scroper, but that's about it.
That's it.
Oh, and then from Jovian Shadow said Morris got him in the Ghoulies, aka Junk. Oh, so that was when Embiid got hit in the junk, and he was also wearing a mask, and he was like rubbing the pain away, and it wasn't a good look.
Now, and then there's some InfoWars stuff in here. because Celtics Twitter isn't. I mean, Philly Twitter is InfoWars. Comes from at Denholm Jeans, and that's it. All right. Any junk on your end?
No, I think that pretty much does it. I didn't have, like I said, I didn't have many great observations. Oh, before the game, the Celtics played Joel Embiid's press conference where he said he wasn't that impressed with the crowd. Thought that was awesome.
That's
The crowd was fantastic tonight. Kind of upset. I was not there to be in the building because it looked like a fun one, especially just like when it got going during that crazy comeback. So that ending that half was amazing.
Fantastic. All right. That's it. Game 3 is Saturday at 5 p.m. Weird time. And heads up, Monday's game's at 6 p.m., which sucks. But it is what it is. So Saturday, game 3, 5 p.m., Celtics take on the Sixers, hoping to take a 3-0 lead, which is wild. A lot of people picked the Sixers in 5 or 6, which means a lot of them, you stupid, and a couple of them, you have to go on a big run, Philly, if you're going to do that. This looks like it's going to be a tough one. The Celtics are undefeated when taking a 2-0 lead in the series, and the Sixers are defeated when going down 0-2. They have not come back from an 0-2 deficit in a 7-game series. Celtics have never lost. Doesn't look good for Philly, but you never know what's going to happen in Game 3. So we'll be back with a podcast on Sunday night, recapping the whole thing, and that's it. If you are not a subscriber, we hope you enjoyed the show enough to become one. Just search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast. If you are, please give us that 5-star rating. We love it, and that good review, because that helps. This is a free podcast. We are pumping out free content 5 days a week. All we ask in return is a good review on those iTunes rankings and pumps us up the list, pushes us up further, and advertisers see that, and then they want to advertise with us, and that's how we get our money. So please do that and share, spread the word, let everybody know they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.